It is to be obeyed immediately, and it is to be obeyed constantly. We are not only immediately to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are to keep on putting him on, or have him on all the time. Now what this means, we will look at more deeply in a moment. But let me still come back to summarize this point once more, that we fully understand this message of the New Testament. That to be clothed with the armor of light is to be equipped with. Clothed means to be equipped with. But then we run into a problem. We may at once perceive that whatever you put on appears to be extrinsic to you. Like a clothing, what you put on is outside of you. If you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe it is some superficial outward appearance of being a Christian. Because clothing, after all, you don't eat your clothing, you put it on. Maybe if you eat your clothing, it might be intrinsic to you. But since you put it on outside, it is extrinsic to you. But that is not the meaning in the New Testament. Put on has the meaning of being equipped with, but never in the idea of something being extrinsic or superficial. For example, in Job chapter 29, verse 14, I put on righteousness as a garment and it clothed me. Job 29:14. I put on righteousness as a garment and it clothed me. It doesn't mean that righteousness that God provides for us is simply an outward shell that we put on for show. No. It means that we truly are righteous. We are truly righteous not only in God's eyes, but that by his transforming power, he also makes us truly righteous. He makes us pure in heart. Because how else could we become pure in heart? Unless he made us pure in heart. So his righteousness is not something only given to us in the sense that it is put externally upon us, but his righteousness is something that truly is ours intrinsically to us once he has given us. So to put on has another meaning in the New Testament. It means to become. It means actually to become righteous. This we can see, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 15 verses 53 to 54. To see how this word put on is used. 1 Corinthians 15, 53 and 54. For this perishable nature must put on, this is the same Greek word to put on clothes, must put on the imperishable, and this mortal nature must put on immortality. Verse 54. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now here we are dealing with the same Greek word that we read in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm in exposition dealing with exactly the same Greek word. Sometimes translated to clothe, sometimes translated to put on, it is exactly the same thing. We could say, for this perishable, when it is clothed with the imperishable, would have exactly the same meaning and would be exactly equally true to the translation of the text from the Greek. To say that the perishable puts on the imperishable means that the perishable is transformed into the imperishable. It becomes imperishable. It is not saying that the perishable now has an outward shell of being imperishable, which would be talking nonsense. It was just saying that when the perishable puts on, that is, becomes imperishable. When the mortal puts on, that is, becomes immortal. When this mortal body of mine, Paul is saying, becomes, puts on immortality so that it becomes immortal, then will be said, death is swallowed up in victory. Because if the mortal does not become immortal, then even if the outside still remains, the inside is dead, since the inside is still mortal. And then to say that death is swallowed up in victory would again be nonsense. You see, the word put on four times in these two verses means by God's power to be transformed into something else. The perishable physical body is transformed by God's saving power to become immortal, imperishable, Put on then means to become, to be changed. Well, actually, this is not easy, not difficult for us to understand. I mean, you go out there, you work in the garden, you wear filthy rags for work in the garden. And then when you come back, you wash yourself and you put on new clothing. Oh, you are transformed, literally changed in your appearance. But in the scripture, it means not merely changed in the outward appearance, but changed truly and fully, an intrinsic, internal change. That is the scriptural meaning. Now you begin to understand the point. To put on righteousness as an armor is not merely to be equipped with righteousness, it is to become righteous. It is to be transformed by God's power into being righteous. This is exactly, of course, what Paul says. Once you were darkness, now you are light. You do not just put on light, but you actually have become light. When it says when you put on light, you are transformed into light. You see that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Once you were darkness. Now you are light. By putting on the armor of light, you are actually transformed by God's power into light. This is truly something beautiful to behold. Now how do we put on? Notice the first step. The first step for any person to be equipped with God's life and God's power, the first step is taken in baptism. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Let me read it to you. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do we put on Christ? How do I put on this new life of grace that God has provided for me? The first step is something you do. You are baptized into Christ. Just as 2 weeks ago, the three persons were baptized. They took did God or anyone else drag you into baptism? No, this was some decision that by the grace of God, indeed with His enabling, but yet something that you had to make. You decided to be baptized. And so you came forward. You repented of your sins, you made your pledge and commitment to God, and you were baptized, so you put on Christ at baptism. That's what the scripture here says. But now, if you say to yourself, now I have put on Christ, and therefore that is the end of my task, you have not really understood the message. Because in baptism you have put on Christ, indeed. But it is not once for all. And hence we have just seen Romans chapter 13, what does it say? There he is speaking to Christians who have already put on Christ in baptism. Yet it is to these same Christians that he commands them to put on Christ. Why is this so? The fact is this. That when we read about putting on Christ, we see that it has to do with a whole change of our way of life. We take off the old clothes, means we put away the old person, the whole old way of thinking, the whole old way of conduct, and we put on the new person. We read this in Ephesians chapter 4. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. And though we have to turn around much in scripture, I would like to show you that I'm not preaching my own ideas. My task as a preacher is to tell you what the Word of God says, not what I say. Not what my ideas are, but what does the Bible say? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Put off your old person. The word nature is not a correct translation. The word, for any of you who know Greek, and very even anyone who knows elementary Greek, knows that the word anthropos means person. And that is the word that is in the text here. Put off your old person, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new person, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness, true holiness. Notice, true, genuine holiness, not some external holiness, not some external righteousness, but true, genuine, intrinsic, internal. and eternal, because it is of God. So, here is the step. We take off the old, we put on the new. Notice it is all up to us. God provides the new. You've got to take off the old. God, the Lord is not going to say, I can let you put it on without your taking off the old. So you wear your old garment, and then you put Christ on top of your old garment as well. No, no. First, you take off the old. That is what you do in baptism. You repented of your old way of life. You have finished with your old manner of conduct, as it says here. And then, having finished with all that, you put on the new that God has provided for you in His grace. Now, one or two important observations before we close for today. I have already stressed the point that God has made full provision in His grace for you and for me. It is up to you and up to me to put on the new man and to put off the old first. But having said that, the beauty of this message in Christ is this. It is not only up to us to do it, but that because of God's glorious grace, it can be done immediately and instantly. At this point, I would like to elaborate a little before I close. What is being said here, against all in aorist imperatives, that is, commands intended to be carried out immediately, this put on, put off, these are all words in the aorist imperatives, means that not only can we, but God expects us to make this change immediately. Now that is something wonderful. What point are we getting at? This means that for any person here, if you are not a Christian, you can immediately, because God has already made the provision, provided you are willing to respond to His call, you can at this very second strip off your filthy clothes, and at this very moment, by the grace of God, claim the new clothes of God's grace and put them on. That to my mind is very wonderful. What is the practical application for the three of them and for all of us? But I'm addressing, of course, these words particularly to the three of them going forth to serve the Lord. It means that victory can be instantaneous. Not because we are able, but because His grace is at every moment ready to step in with the fullness of His power to give you the victory. Now, if you can learn this lesson well, I say this to the three of them, but to all of us, if we can learn this lesson well, we will never long be defeated. For a moment, we might get a punch and go down for a few seconds. We shake our heads and we rise to victory again. This is the beauty. This is where invincibility that our brother Tim was talking about. Here lies the secret of this invincibility. Because God's victory can be instantaneous. Let me give an illustration of this point from any one of us. For example, at this moment, you may have a wrong attitude to some brother or some sister. At this very moment, you have holding in your heart a wrong attitude. It does not require a long process to get rid of that attitude, as many people mistakenly suppose. There is nothing to stop you at this very second to say, Lord, I realize because your Holy Spirit has convicted me, my attitude is wrong. At this moment, I throw away this attitude. At this very moment, I put on the new kind of clothes, the new kind of attitude that you provide for me. This very moment. You can change instantly because God's power is instantly available. That is the beauty of it. That is a secret that I would like you to grasp, and particularly for the three of them. In the thickness of the conflict, in the thickness of the battle, you have instant, immediate victory. That is why I like one word in Mark. I wonder if you've ever noticed that word. That word, immediately. Try to count how many times the word immediately comes in the Gospel of Mark. Everything of God's power can come immediately into action because today is the day of salvation. Today is the hour of grace. At this very moment, God's grace is instantly active. You call upon it, this moment it will change your life at this moment. Oh, this is something fantastic. So, For example, supposing I have a wrong attitude to someone of you right at this moment. I don't have to waste time pondering, is my attitude right? I see that my attitude is wrong, but I can't get rid of it. Of course you can't get rid of it. Whoever said you could? But God's power is instantly available to help you to strip away this wrong attitude immediately. Love comes into your heart. What do you have to wait for? You think love has to build up, like pumping the pressure up, and then push, 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 and gradually the love is coming, then pump some more, and the love is coming, and finally you say, I think just about now I can love you. And suddenly someone pricks the bubble and it's all gone and you can't love anymore. Just start pumping again. And I think this is the problem of relationships between brothers and sisters sometimes in the church and in the team. They work so hard pumping up this love for the other one, because all the time there's so many faults, so ugly. You know, why don't you put on the new clothes? How long do I have to wait for you to put on the new clothes? And so we pump, 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 and finally we got there. Now I can love this brother for 2 minutes. And then it's all gone again, because the sharp spikes of the other guy pricked our bubble again, and it's all gone, so we start pumping again. But thanks be to God that God didn't clothe us in a bubble. He clothed us in the armor of light. An armor should not be pricked so easily. Because if he had said, I'm going to clothe you in a bubble, we'd be bursting all the time. And it seems most Christians are bursting all the time. Their bubble is bursting. We got the wrong clothes. We went to the wrong store. You see. So we got dressed in bubbles. The problem here is this. We are here to put on Christ. That means to put on Christ means not merely that God has equipped us with Christ, that he has given Christ to us. But remember the second meaning of the word clothed. We become like him. We become Christ-like. I'm learning this lesson more and more, that God's grace is instantly available to me. Yeah. And many times I find myself really disturbed, say, by someone's behavior or conduct, or even by my own attitude. And then what we can do is one of two things. We can keep groaning, moaning, nursing our wounds, say, why does God give me this kind of co-worker? And if I got stuck with somebody like this, this really desperate. I mean, consider what a great man of God I would have been if I had another kind of co-worker and I got somebody like this. If one day when I stand before God and God said, why didn't you become a mighty man or woman of God? It's because of this co-worker of mine. I mean, this person, he or she is like a porcupine. It's stuck with it, you know, all full of needles sticking out as my bubbles are being pricked all the time. I think that God will not find that answer very acceptable. Do you think he will accept the answer? I think not. He will say, I provided you with all the grace you need, and you are telling me that my grace is not sufficient for you. Is that what you're telling me? And you'll say, I didn't mean your grace is not, maybe not sufficient for her, but it was, you know, but sufficient for me. The problem was that because it was not sufficient for her, so it drained all the grace out of me. I don't think that will be too acceptable either with God. Oh no. I would like us to learn this instant victory. Instant, not because we live in an age of instant milk and instant coffee, but rather because God's power is available for these things. God's grace is just right for the 20th century. We live in an age of instant everything. But thanks be to God, God's grace was much more advanced than our instant coffee and milk. It was there long before these things were invented. God's power stands ever ready to move in and change us immediately. Have you ever experienced this? If you haven't experienced it, it's about time we did. You feel really down, depressed, miserable, because again, your porcupine friend has stuck quill in you, really. You feel really miserable about this. And yet, if you can seize the secret of this putting on these garments that the Lord has provided for us, how amazing. You can change from misery to happiness in the twinkling of an eye. If you don't believe me, try it. Try it, and you will see that God's grace works. Of course, if you don't draw upon His grace, nothing works. But if you avail of yourself of that grace at the minute, it instantly joy floods into your heart. I tried it this morning. I'm speaking with conviction. This morning I was a bit upset about something, which I will not go into detail about. I went to my room and knelt down before the Lord. And instantly the Lord bore me up. And the whole thing dissipated as a cloud. It was just blown away by the winds of the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord. And the sunshine came forth into my soul again, and I was at peace and went forth again. Quick as that, immediate victory. Otherwise, I might still be feeling pretty bad right now, and you would have seen the effects of it in my message. I would be talking here with a long face, so probably I wouldn't have been able to preach this message because I didn't find it true in my own life. So I had this very day the chance to put into practice the message. I didn't write this message this morning, by the way. This is already... But the Lord, as it were, made me test my own message this very morning so that I can speak of it with conviction. That is the beauty of the Christian life. And this is the message I would like to share with the three of them. Never stay down. Never wait to be lifted up. Immediately put on what God has so graciously provided for us. Immediately rise to victory. This is the beauty that God has made this. So what I'm saying here is this. The Lord said, if God so clothed the flower of the field, and with such a glory that even the glory of Solomon is nothing compared to that, how much more will he clothe you with a glory that exceeds Solomon's any time? Now try to picture it, my beloved ones, in your mind. Look at this whole church. Huh? Everyone clothed in the glory exceeding that of Solomon's. Huh. I'm glad I have color-changing glasses, because when the light shines, I might get blinded. Just in time to save my eyesight, I see the glory exceeding Solomon's shining back at me. Ah, what a church. Do we see it? We might have problem competing with Solomon still at this moment, you see. Still have to wait to get there. Huh? But try to imagine what the Lord is saying about his people. Every one of his disciples, redeemed with his blood, clothed with Christ, a glory exceeding Solomon's. What did the Apostle John say about the Lord Jesus? In the first letter of John, he said, "We beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of God." And you are clothed with Christ. Should not somebody else behold his glory in you? Answer me, yes or no? Surely the answer has to be yes, or we are wasting our time. We wasted 35 minutes or 45 minutes talking nonsense here. If we are clothed with Christ, and the Apostle John beheld his glory, a unique glory, that of the only begotten, what has Solomon's glory got to be able to compete with the glory of the Son of God? And you have put on Christ? Ah, what glory shines forth. The glory of God, of God's love, the glory of God's holiness, the glory of God's compassion. I mean, if you cannot see it in reality, at least try to imagine it. And maybe your dream might yet come true. I mean, right now we may have difficulty seeing it in reality. I mean, your porcupine friend, you don't see any glory of Christ there. All you see are the spikes. And you are still thinking, well, one day maybe I can imagine this person clothed in the glory of Christ. And then you can pray for that person. And maybe one day you will see that person clothed in the glory of Christ. But the point I'm getting at is this. You don't have to wait 20 years or 30 years. This is now to put on Christ. And if you put on Christ, now is the glory. Let us close as we read Colossians chapter 3. And what do we read here in Colossians? Colossians 3 verse 9. Maybe we should read from verse 7 to get the whole picture. In these, that is, in verse, perhaps we have to go back to verse 5 to get the connection. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, that is, in all these ugly things, you once walked when you lived in them. But now put them all away. Take them off like filthy garments, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put on, clothed yourself, put off the old nature with its practices, and have put on, verse 10, clothed yourself with the new nature, the new man, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator, namely in the image of Christ. Here there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is everything. Christ is all and in all. Verse 12. If we have put on the new man, what are the garments that we have put on? Put on then, again, the aorist imperative. Immediately put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on these things. Compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearing one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also forgive one another. And now, as I was looking at this, when Paul says, put on all these things, I was trying to imagine myself putting on compassion like this shirt, you see, and kindness like this tie, and lowliness like these beautiful trousers that I have, and meekness like my nice socks, and patience like my shoes. And then when I put on all these garments, when I was thinking of it in this way, that's exactly what Paul was saying in Ephesians chapter 6, the helmet, and the armor, the shoes, and all these things that you put on. Think of this thing then as beautiful clothes, because that's what Paul is saying, because he says put on, he's talking about clothes. So put on this compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, patience. And when you put all this beautiful clothing on, your glory will any time exceed the glory of Solomon. Nothing that Solomon wore had any of this kind of enduring quality, of this kind of spiritual beauty. Nothing of his stones and of his gold would anywhere compete with this kind of beauty. In this sense, in this way, I say to the three beloved ones as they go forth there, clothed with the power from on high, clothed with compassion and duty, clothed with Christ. So will every heart be drawn to him, every tongue confess him as Lord. Only then will you be able to accomplish your task. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.